Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 26 of the Self-Help Podcast. Sean, 26 is a significant number, isn't it?
Yeah, it's half a year.
6 months of this thing we've been doing.
It's amazing.
We're still we're showing up every week, aren't
yeah,
we?
That's right, yeah. And so is the audience.
Oh, yeah, they
that's
are.
That's good.
And we appreciate them. We love them.
Yep.
Have you been? You okay?
Yeah, I've been very good.
You've been away, haven't you?
I've been to London, which has been interesting on lots of fronts. Because, as you may know, I am a Londoner.
Yeah,
I
used to be.
Come from London.
Did you slip back the accent? Did it come back?
Oh, no. No, it does a bit, yeah.
Bartering for apples and... Yeah. Or did you pinch any apples or anything like that?
Just steal a few apples, mate.
You did that, didn't you? I bet you did. But you,
just one or two. Scrumping.
Lifted a few apples in your time.
No, it's cool. We stayed on an island on the Thames by Richmond, which was great. 20 minutes from the centre of London. I've been in every shop in London, I think, over the last few days. Which has been interesting with my leg, because I've had the issues with the tendon in my leg, which is... I'm in a hospital later on today, having it scanned and things.
Blimey.
That was quite interesting, because there were a few times when it made me say fish cakes a few times. Like, fish cakes.
Sharp pain, hey?
Yeah, interesting. So that was good. No, but it was great to go back to London. Lots of good stuff. And we went to the Winter Wonderland thing in Hyde Park, which was amazing. That was really good.
Oh, ice skating and all that.
Like a huge fair, you know, but amazing kind of Christmas spirit stuff.
Very nice.
Very nice. What about you?
Yeah, pretty cool. I had some good news yesterday. Or initially, I thought it was bad news. Regular listeners to the show remember months ago I had my cholesterol checked and it turns out I've got high cholesterol.
Yeah.
I had a call yesterday from the surgery because I had a blood test last week. And initially, the first thing the person said was, we're booking a telephone consultation with a doctor for you for tomorrow. So I thought, bloody hell, it's gone up. And I've been easing off the sausage butties and all that. At the end of the call, I said, okay, well, have you got the figure for me just so I know? And she goes, oh, yeah, it's 5.7. Which it was 6.8. It's gone down loads.
It's gone down, right.
So yeah. I don't know, I shouldn't start with that. She had me panicked in for a few minutes. So I celebrated this morning with a sausage butter.
So what's the trick then? How have you got your cholesterol down?
Is it fish oil tablets or the omega-3?
Yeah, omega-3.
I've been having them each day. I've pretty much cut out cheese. Except for a bit of parmesan.
I love cheese.
I know. Yeah. And again, the sausage butties, I've eased off them quite a lot too.
Yeah.
Seems to have done the trick. I'm going to speak to my doc later on to see.
Yeah.
Easy.
Haven't had my cholesterol done for a while. Maybe I should have
get it checked out. I would advise everyone to.
I'm a cheese freak myself.
Get it looked at, Sean. Yeah. Especially you getting to your age.
Yeah, 27's old.
So that's pretty cool news.
Yeah.
What else? I'm also kind of tentatively planning an adventure for next year. I haven't had an adventure for a while.
So what's the adventure? What are we doing?
Well, it's a cycling adventure, and it's in Africa.
Wow.
Uganda, I'm hoping.
Right.
And it's still a few things to iron out, issues, but it's a friend of mine who spends a lot of time over there, and he's done it a few times, and he knows his way around, so...
Is it to raise money?
Yeah, it will be for charity,
yeah,
yes.
Good.
Yeah, we've got a couple of charities in mind, so I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to do some podcasts in advance so that...
we will.
Yeah.
Well, we could do it by Skype.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool.
You could come with me?
Yeah, that's...
You could do a few hundred miles.
A tandem. Yeah. I'll come on the back.
On the dusty dirt roads of Uganda.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's something to look forward to. Exciting. But we've got Christmas to look forward to before, haven't we? We're getting close to that time of year.
I call Christmas Stuffmas because I get more and more stuff each Christmas. And
get
I have less and less places to put it.
Before and after, maybe, I would suggest.
Well, I've been saying to people for the last few years, if I can't eat it and I can't drink it, then I don't want it.
Mm.
Because I don't want any more stuff. But maybe that puts your cholesterol up.
Yeah. I would look at that. But we're going to talk a little bit about the stuff that we accumulate in life in this week's topic a little bit. I think we'll come on to that.
Maybe we'll get there.
We're talking about work, aren't we, Sean? So we'll come on to that in a sec.
Rachel,
who's emailed us.
Yeah.
Or emailed yourself, was it? Or the podcast at livingthepresent.co.uk.
Yeah.
Cool bit of feedback.
Rachel was talking about being asleep. Not her being asleep, but, you know, Jen about sleep. After the last podcast. And she was identifying that the idea of... Do you get symptoms of anxiety and depression before your sleep goes out? Or does your sleep go out before you get the symptoms? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that in a way it's a bit chicken and egg, and it's different for different people, but often it's to do with when you realise that you're in the cycle, whether you realise it once your sleep's gone, or whether you can be aware of it before your sleep's gone, that kind of thing.
Mm.
The other thing that she was talking about was the idea of the problems that some people have about going to sleep in silence. And the point that she raised was that in silence, the inner voice in your head goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the things for me, because it's the same is true in meditation, is that if when you're silent with yourself, that you start to get disturbing thoughts, images, ideas, that's a therapeutic issue. And it may not be that you're bonkers and you need psychotherapy, but it means that you need to do some processing so that you can allow those things to flow through you, because we all get negative thoughts, but learning not to ruminate on it, that's the trick, really. Because very often the reason people can't go to sleep is because they're ruminating.
Yeah, oh, I can relate to that. But yeah, we talk about meditation and sleep a lot recently, but one of the things that meditation can bring, things can bubble to the surface, can't they? From your subconscious.
So how's your meditation going, if you've managed to keep it up?
it's a bit stuttering still.
Yeah, I've had stutters.
Three or four times a week. You're not quite daily habit yet.
Got to be in there every day.
But I've got you giving me a kick up the backside. I've got a regular listener, Mark, who sends us emails, and he keeps in touch, which is cool. He's keeping an eye on me, and on Lyft as well. It's a good way of kind of tracking how I'm doing.
Yeah.
So if anyone is on Lyft that we've kind of recommended, search for me and add me as a friend, and I will add you back, and we can keep each other going. You can pester me about meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I'm getting there. okay, but on to this week's topic, shall we, Sean?
Yeah, please. Good.
We're talking about work. This topic was kind of put into our minds by an email we had from a listener who they didn't want us to mention their name, so we're nice like that, aren't we? The situation our listener is in, basically they're coming to a point in their career where it sounds like they've been promoted, and the next stage of promotion is upon them, and they're a bit unsure as to whether to go for it. Obviously the financial rewards are there, but there's extra stress and pressure. I think that person is kind of thinking about whether to go for it or to maybe go down another path in life to throw that job in and go, maybe, I don't know if it was self-employment or another job.
Yeah.
But this is something that you deal with in there.
All the time.
In healthcare?
All the time.
People getting promoted to the point.
Yeah, not just healthcare, other organisations too. I think that if you're looking at promotion issues, that the thing in most organisations is that people get promoted to their level of incompetence, in the sense that if you're good at something, you get promotion. If you're good at that, you get promotion. You go up and up and up until you get to something that actually you're not very good at, and then you don't get any more promotion.
Yeah.
And most organisations are run at the point of incompetence, and if everybody clicked back a grade, then usually things would be a lot better.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. But I think that the big issue that it raised for us when we were talking about it was the idea about what is work about and why are we doing it?
Well, we've talked a lot recently about sleep and how we spend a third of our lives asleep. We've split into these three, haven't we? A third of our life asleep, a third hanging out with family, maybe a third working.
Yeah.
So it's a big part of our life.
And one of the problems for human beings is we do it in those kind of blocks. Either we're asleep, we're socialising, or we're working. And no other species on the planet does that, and yet all species on the planet work.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that we need to start off with that kind of definition of work, like what is work?
What is it to you?
Yeah, so if you look at every species on the planet, whether it's a bee, it's a bird, it's a primate, whatever it is that the work of an animal is to be able to provide food and shelter for themselves and for usually their mate and then subsequently their offspring. And that's what it's about. It's about being able to provide the basic needs of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we as human beings have stepped out of that, because a bird doesn't go to work. A bird gets up in the morning and gets on with its life. And we've broken that concept of living down into these three components of sleeping, working and socialising. And I think that's where we go wrong. I think that's where problems begin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it as a process, from my point of view, all species are involved in activity every day that you could describe as working, in the sense of providing food, shelter and being able to provide for their young, which is what we are all doing.
Yep.
Yeah, but things start to go through a change. You start off with socialisation. When you get a group of people, like a group of primates or cavemen or whatever, and we start to distinguish roles so that, say, you're the guy who's making the tools, so you're chipping the flints. So that's you've now got a job. And while you're doing your job of making the flints, you can't go out and look for food and all that kind of stuff, because you're doing this thing we now call work. And so maybe I'm the cook over here, so you're making the tools for me to cut the meat up to cook, but I can't go and get the meat either because I'm cooking it. I'm now the chef. Mm-hmm. So now we've got these roles going on that we now start to identify as work. So then we have to work out between us, how can I value what you do and how can you value what I do, and how do we value the guys that go out and get the food? Mm-hmm. So that we start with things like bartering. You know, you make me some tools, so I'll make you some food.
Yep.
And then that extends into the idea of these tokens. I love these tokens, money. And like on a British note, it says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of,
yep,
which is a fantasy because it doesn't actually exist. It's a token, it's a piece of paper. But it's like a promissory note, isn't it? I mm-hmm. give you this £10 note and that promises that you can go and use that £10. You give it to someone else as a promise and that promise is passed on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that it perpetuates like
that. What a concept. Imagine it.
But we end up in a situation where we go to and do this stuff called work, which has become completely separated from the basic needs of food and shelter and support, to get these tokens that we then use to accumulate all this stuff that we don't actually need and very often don't want.
Yes.
Which is the whole kind of stuff issue. And we're going to move into stuffmas now, where we're going to give people lots of stuff and we're going to receive lots of stuff. And lots of that stuff may be pleasant, may be useful, may be enjoyable, but essentially it's stuff that you have to put somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've just been to a networking meeting, the breakfast meeting this morning.
Yeah.
And
what a hoot.
Nicola, who runs Pink Spaghetti, great organisation, she helps people declutter their lives. Mm. And the amount of people at that meeting that were saying, yeah, my house is just full of stuff that I need to get rid of. And what on earth are we doing? What on earth are we doing? It seems like a very odd thing to do.
Yeah, there's a line in a film called Fight Club, which I was obsessed with at university, which Tyler Durden, main character, played by Brad Pitt, so it has this huge, long kind of epitaph, and it's the end bit is we're all working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need.
Yeah, and I think that's so true about the way that we choose to live now. And it's because we don't actually pay any attention to what we're doing. We develop love objects. We decide that we must have this thing. And we drive towards it. And maybe it takes us a while to get it. But once we've got it, we've lost the drive for love objects. And now we switch on to a new love object and drive towards something else.
Yeah.
You know.
Retail therapy, eh?
Yeah. And it's for me, it's the thing, like, the previous house that I had was enormous. Bedrooms and staircases and ponds and streams and stuff, and it taught me this huge lesson: is you can only sleep in one bedroom at a time, you can only have one living room at a time, you can only use one bathroom at a time. It doesn't matter how many you've got. And the issue about what do I need and what do I want and how do I see myself.
Well, part of the email that we had from our dear listener about the stress of the decision that's about to come upon them or is upon them is that I think friends and family expect a certain thing from that person. They expect him to take, or him or her to take the promotion, take the bigger paycheck, take the extra responsibility and move on up. So how do you advise people that are in that position, because you must deal with a lot, to kind of appease their friends and family who may be disappointed that they're about to be brave and take this decision to not take the promotion or to try something else in life? How do you, what do you say?
I think that sometimes people are stuck in cultural issues, which may be to do with ethnicity or religion, even about what is expected of them, you know, the Protestant work ethic kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's also the issue of social status. You know, if you're at a dinner table, the first thing that you say to the person next to you is, you know, you're at the dinner party. You say, well, they say to you, and what do you do?
What's your answer to that when people say, what do you say? Do you say, I'm a psychotherapist?
It would depend on where I am and what kind of mood I was in.
Yeah, I like to have a bit of fun with it usually.
Yeah. Because, you know, what do you do? I live my life. You know, I'm a human being. You know, I don't have a label. I'm not an it.
Is that when they turn and talk to the person on the other side?
Yeah, they just look at you like you're mad. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But as soon as someone identifies what they do, you know, I'm a dustman, I'm a doctor, whatever, we then give them a status and we either look up to them or down to them or we're on a path with them depending on what they do.
There's a Monty Python
Yeah, yeah. Joke about that, yes, I look up to him because he's upper class. I look down to him because he's working class.
Is it Monty Python?
It was that. It was those three guys. It was
Ronnie Corbett's in it, and John Cleese.
Yeah, it was. It was the Frost program. Yeah, well, that was.
That's
was,
the one.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Yeah. I know the one you mean.
Yes, yeah. We'll get the YouTube clip in the show.
Yeah,
next.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's good.
But yeah,
very British.
Status.
But that whole idea is what status. You know, some very often status is money. You know, how much money do you earn? Yeah. And it's the kind of question you don't ask people, isn't it? How much money do you earn? You know, we don't say that to each other, but we have an idea by what people tell us that they do as to where they are financially.
What car they drive in.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
How many bedrooms? That's funny, interesting. I'm a web designer by day, generally, and I don't have set prices. You know, people come to me asking for a website or a kind of online marketing platform, and they say, "Oh, how much?" And then I have this kind of, I have to say, "Oh, I'll be in touch," and I have to weigh up various things, like how much I think they can afford. If I'm honest, that's the thing about it, and how much they're expecting to pay, and then there's that bartering and back and forth a little bit. So yeah, I don't have a set fee, that kind of thing, which is interesting.
I do exactly the same thing psychotherapeutically, in that, in a sense, the people that can afford it help to subsidise the people that can't. But I try and make sure that everybody's needs are met.
Yeah.
Each according to their ability to pay, really. And some people are very generous and will happily pay good amounts of dosh and pay you money in advance. And some people really do not have any money. I mean, I do work with people who are on the bones of their bottoms and do not have any cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never turn people away like that. I'd always work with people that need to be worked.
Yeah, same here. We're both in the business of helping people, but we all are, really, aren't we? That's it.
Yeah, hopefully we all are.
All work is... Well, the aim of all work is to help.
Well, let's get back to this concept of work. I mean, one of the things that you and I identify is that we don't go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got up this morning, had a cup of coffee, made Rhea a cup of coffee in bed. She had a good...
You have a coffee machine by your bed?
No. I had to take it upstairs, like the waiter. Room service. and then I met you at the networking breakfast meeting. So we've done that. We're here at the studio recording.
Mm-hmm.
I will be off to see a couple of people. I've got some meetings to go to. I will finish about 8 o'clock. Tonight, 9 o'clock tonight, something like that, depending on how the day pans out. But I will see lots of people. Some of that will be people will give me money for doing it. Some of it isn't money orientated. But I've just lived my life. I haven't been to work. I don't have a concept of going to work.
Yeah.
And that is a fabulous thing for me, because I don't live in those blocks of sleep, work, play. But I think it does create conflicts, because if I'm awake at 3 o'clock in the morning with something going around in my head, it's something that is a project or an idea or something that I am working on in that sense. And I'm playing with the ideas, because I don't not work, but then I don't not play. I mean, it's true that if I go away, like when we're in London, the phone goes off and I'm not really available.
Yep.
And that's okay. But whilst I was away, I did have the need to send some emails. I sent some emails to you whilst I was away. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, got into trouble for that.
but from my point of view, I don't I'm never in that situation where I'm not at work, but I don't go to work. If you know, if I'm making sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you must have the same. You, as a creative person, you must have ideas coming to you, you know, when you're on the loo or in the shower or whatever you're doing. You don't stop because you're...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. I'm working 24/7. But working, living, all that stuff. I mean, self-employment, we're not pushing people down that route, are we? It's not... Is it?
It's what works for you. I mean, we know that 96% of the population are wage earners. They work for an employer.
You nearly said wage slaves then. You held back, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was being delicate.
Yeah. That's unusual for you.
The phrase is usually a wage slave, isn't it? In the sense that you're stuck working for an employer for the amount of hours they would give you at the rate they're prepared to pay you.
Yeah.
You know, and then we get the whole issue about the tokens that you get at the end of the week are limited to what you can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're self-employed, you have a choice. You can do different things and get more tokens, or you can choose to do less and not have so many tokens. It depends on... But you're in a world of choice that you don't have when you're an employee.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the bit that's important.
I think, well, my story in brief then, I was probably in a similar position to this, to the listener that emailed in five and a half years ago, in that I was employed and I was kind of starting to move up the ladder, fresh-ish out of university, and basically took the decision, to go it alone. Before I had a family, I wasn't married at that point. Had a mortgage though, had some significant financial obligations.
Yeah.
Which is always, you know, part of the thought process. But went it alone and set up on my own. And I kind of did it at the time because I wanted to spend more time being creative and doing creative things. And as it's transpired, but probably isn't the case, I probably spend more time than ever just talking to people, setting projects up, and then doing the actual work of design is probably 25% of what I do. But I found that I quite enjoy that now. I enjoy the bashing ideas around with people.
Yeah.
So it's worked out differently to how I imagined, but
yeah.
At first I was kind of like, oh, I'm never again, am I going to have a boss, never going to work for anyone ever again. And as time's gone on, I like my role now, but if the right offer came along, I probably would take a job at a company, depending on who it was for. And like, for example, when the BBC moved up north to Media City in Salford, my CV is on their database, so if a role within the BBC came up,
yeah,
I'd probably jump in there and have some fun.
I've mainly been self-employed in life. In the last 15 or so years, I've done this part-time consultant's contract with the NHS.
Which is,
I enjoy what I do, so I'm not going to work. I'm just doing what I do at the NHS, and they pay me money for it, which is good. And previous to that, I mean, my most memorable job was when I first left home at 15, and I had no qualifications and had to get some GCSE-type qualifications. So I worked as a lavatory attendant in London, come and see me at my convenience. And I would literally go to college in the day, finish at 4, start the down at the bogs at 4:30 and do 4:30 to 10:30. And that would pay the bills. And I could run around with the pino and go and do my homework in the last box and then run around with the pino and lock up and go home. So I managed to fund myself being at college to do that, working on the loos. But again, that wasn't really work. I mean, I was going to the loos, which was a nice warm environment to do my homework, really, and running around and doing a clean-up every now and again. On odd occasions, you get a strange person that would come in with strange lavatory habits that you'd have to deal with. But, you know, in the main, it was...
We won't push you on that. Yeah.
You wouldn't want to. Yeah, but, I mean, even that wasn't work in that sense. You know, I worked on a building site too when I was a teenager, you know, actually digging trenches with a pick and a shovel with a team of guys, all that kind of stuff.
I didn't work on a building site, but I had a factory-based job after uni that I did in the summer, where it was hard work, man, like lugging stuff around the factory and putting things in cages and all that.
Yeah.
But it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I would come home like shattered and I'd sleep like an absolute baby.
I guess that the thing would be, I mean, you and I did those things. I did the loos while I was doing my exams, but I mean, and you did your job in the factory for a while. But what about if you were doing it for your working life? I mean, if you look at the hours that we work, each of us in our working bit are going to spend over 100,000 hours in our life working. And that's a hell of a time to do something that you don't want to do.
Well, now's a good time to mention that famous Guardian article, which has got onto, it's always in the top 10 most read on their website, Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, which I think might have been written by, or put together by someone that went in an oncology ward, a hospital, basically interviewing people that were at death's door.
Yep.
And number one, every time, was I spent too much time working on things that weren't valuable or that I didn't value. So it's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But not all work, even manual labour or whatever it is, you know, it doesn't have to be a bore. You make it what it is, don't you?
Yeah.
You can enjoy it and it can be a value. It is a value. Because
Everything is a value in the moment, whatever activity you're engaged in, if you're mindfully engaged in it and you're enjoying the moment, whether that's pressing the keys on a machine or whether you're painting a wall or whatever you're doing, if you're engaged in the process and you're living in the now, living in the present, then life has a meaning for you. If you're painting the wall and you're thinking, oh, I wish I wasn't here, or you're worrying about the past or you're anxious about the future, you're not living your life.
Yeah.
One of the most distressing things for me, it isn't just working with people that are terminal or are approaching the end of their lives, which I do, but working with people that are approaching retirement or they're going through some kind of midlife crisis in their 50s or something like that, where they are so distressed about the fact that they have wasted their life getting up every day, going in and doing something that they didn't want to do and having a really horrible time. You know, and that is no way to live for me. I mean, one of the biggest markers for me is if I wake up on a Monday morning. I can't remember the last time I would have done this, but if I
you've never woken up on a Monday morning.
I would never go to sleep on a Sunday night. If I was to wake up on the Monday morning and the first thought in my head was, oh my God, I can't cope with this, change your life. Change your life, make it different.
Yes.
And people may say, oh, it's okay for you to say that, but I can't do that. Yes, you can. It may take some planning, it may take some training. Most people, if they want to change their lives, it takes them a couple of years to do it. You have to get yourself organised, you have to decide what you want to do, you have to focus and get life working for you. But if you want to change your life and make it fulfilling, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anybody can. Anybody.
I'm going to be a good. Hopefully next year for this adventure I talked about, I'll be a good case in point. I quit my job mainly, or the seed was sown, when I had the opportunity back then to go to Africa for a couple of weeks, to Kenya, to do some charity work.
Yeah.
And have a bit of fun at the end, so doing a safari for a few days.
Yeah, and you couldn't.
And I couldn't, they wouldn't give me the time off work. My now wife went with her family, had an amazing time, and I had fun sitting at home, you know, and don't get me wrong, like, I had some fun. But that was like, all right, I can't go through my life like this.
Yeah.
Missing out on opportunities. And it's taken me 5 years of hard work building a business and what have you, and waiting for the opportunity to come up. And hopefully now next year I can go to Africa and experience it. So it's taken me a while, but it takes time, doesn't it, as well? If you take on a new role, you've got to be prepared to put the hours in as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that there's a difference between putting the hours in as opposed to working, if you get the concepts right, because putting the hours in doing something that you enjoy is a joy.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing to do. And at the end of those hours that you just put in, and maybe you've worked a crazy 14 hours to achieve what you needed to achieve, but you're not at the end of it thinking, oh, I've just finished my work and feeling really fed up about it. You're elated, you're high, it's amazing, because you're doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'll go back to that statement in the last paragraph, which is about anybody, doesn't matter who you are, can achieve what you want if you do things in the right way. Yeah, it won't happen as in a flick of your fingers and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very few people can do that. Happens sometimes, but most people have to plan and they have to make decisions, and that means organising and maybe downsizing, decluttering.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you're in a situation where you're working to finance the debt that you've created, then you're in a mad situation, and the key objective has to be that you get rid of the debt so that you're not working to maintain the stresses and the problems that are just chasing you time after time, which takes me back to Christmas or Stuffmas, which is where the amount of people that will go into debt now to fund Christmas, and they maybe will spend the rest of next year paying it off.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are not ways to live. We're creating a madness about this concept of work, which takes us right away from that initial thing, which is about food, shelter, protection, bringing up our young, enjoying being with the people that we're with.
Yeah, there's in a couple of days, it's a Friday, and it's coming to Christmas. This Friday is Black Friday, which is a bit, I think it's more of an American thing. But
an Apple they do, don't they?
It's basically, it's the busiest day for online sales in the year or whatever. But companies have obviously got onto this, and it's basically just fulfilling this. It's just basically advertising day for just, right, today's the day to get all your crap done.
Yeah. The reason people go to work is to get these tokens called money to do these things. And how many of the things that we do? It's like, how many shoes can you wear? You know, how many pairs of shoes do you need? You know, how many dresses, how many coats, how many pairs of trousers? And we fill our lives up with this stuff. And why are we doing it? When I was in the monastic setting, a monk would have a simple suitcase, old-fashioned suitcase, and in that case would go, you know, a couple of changes of clothes, a bedroll, food bowl, a couple of books, basic toiletries, all that kind of stuff. And they would be ready to move in 20 minutes. You know, if we had to go somewhere, no. A pad and a pencil. Yeah? And it's like everything just in the bag and gone. And it's like, if I want to move, it takes a team of people to do it. It takes weeks to plan, you know, and just getting the boxes to put all the stuff in to move the stuff is a major task.
Yeah, you know? We need to downsize our lives, eh?
Yeah, well, speaking to Nicola of Pink Spaghetti today and her idea of downsizing, and I'm thinking her eBay offer, I could just give her so much stuff to go on eBay.
Give me your crap and I'll put it on eBay. Yeah. I like that. That got people chatting to everyone in the room. Yeah. It's like, I've got loads of stuff.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Could keep you going for another year. The most important thing about life is you only get one go at it.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah? You get one go. And the thing is, it's the journey. It's not the goal, it's the journey. We need to be enjoying the journey.
There may be some people out there into reincarnation, that kind of thing.
But it doesn't matter. If you have 15,000 reincarnations, you still need to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Because each incarnation would be a journey, wouldn't it? From birth to death. If you're going to take the path from birth to death, and you have to provide food, shelter and comfort and that kind of stuff, do it with a smile on your face. Do things that make you feel good. Yeah, stop doing things that make you feel bad.
Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting in London, because when you go on the underground trains, which are an intimate experience, even at the quietest times, because you're pushed into close proximity with other people's bodies.
Yep.
And one of the things that you begin to realise as you feel other people's bodies involuntarily is how tense they are. And when you look up into their faces, how miserable their faces are.
Mm.
And it's very hard to see a fulfilled face, yeah, as people are rumbling along in the cattle truck. Going in and out of the city, you know. And I'm thinking, this is not a way to be alive. We should be laughing and singing and having a good time here.
Did you manage to strike up a conversation with anyone on the tube? I know you love to...
I do my best to do these things. Yeah, the only thing I did do...
Everyone's trying to avoid...
We stopped by Windsor Castle on the way back. Have a look around. And we're in a queue. And I turned round to put my arm round Ree. And put my arm round where I thought was Ree, up two or three stairs before I realised it was the wrong woman.
Blimey.
That was...
Did that get you from your look?
And her husband looked at me and I went, oh, sorry.
You didn't get pepper spray to the face or anything?
No, but that was better than the conversation. There you go.
All right, with some self-help tips then to round it up.
For me, two tips. The first one is about doing a review of where you are. Actually sit down and be honest with yourself to start off with, and then maybe be honest with your partner. So that it's like, what is it that you want? What is it that they want? How can you actually achieve it? And when people get into states of confusion about that, one of the easiest things to do is to do the birthday party 10 years hence kind of idea. You know, there's your birthday party 10 years time. Someone is calling everyone to silence. They're going to talk about you, what you've achieved in the last 5 years. What would you, or 10 years, what would you like to hear? What would you like them to be saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that gives you an idea about maybe what you should be doing with your life.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, yeah. Good.
Mm. Yeah. And also, we talked to this person who emailed us actually maybe almost directly here, but if you do take that other path in life, you need a certain amount of resilience as well, don't you? Because there's going to be hitches along the way.
Yeah.
There's so many success stories of so-called successful people. If you read them, they've just had knockback after knockback after knockback, and then finally it's clicked.
It's interesting. I was talking to a doctor yesterday, and we were talking about the issues of am I allowed to have... you know, failures in life. And if you think about someone in business, I mean, one of the jokes when you're a Brit is that an American approach to business would be, if you haven't been bankrupt a couple of times, you haven't got your feet wet kind of idea, whereas in Britain to go bankrupt is a sin, you know, it's a bad thing to do.
Yep.
But if you're a doctor, you can't just have a couple of bankruptcies, you can't just have a couple of dead people just to get your feet wet and to learn how to do it, because you're on that pressure point from the beginning.
Mm.
Yeah, which is tough, isn't it? So, I mean, there are choices in life where we take paths that where the pressure is on us to perform and to do things, which can be stress provoking in a real sense, in a real sense of stress.
Yeah. Okay. We anything else to add there, Sean?
No. I'm okay with that. Resources for the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I've got two books. One that I've mentioned before, but this is a good book. If you're trying to make decisions about what you do next, this is a good book at asking you the questions that make you focus in, hone yourself down, so that you get a focused idea of where you're going. And it's Joe Vitale's The Attractor Factor, which is a really good way of doing that. The second book that I like is by Michael Woods. It's called Get Paid for Who You Are.
Mm.
And that's a fascinating book, because he says very clearly, in every individual there's a business in who you are. You know, you don't have to be anything clever or fancy, just who you are as a business once you understand it.
Yeah.
And I like that approach.
Yeah, that's a cool book.
It's good, yeah.
This all comes back to things we've talked about a little bit in the past about, I think we did a money episode where I was talking about whether I'm an entrepreneur or not, and I think we've decided that everyone is, really.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Yeah.
And also the work-life balance things that we've done an episode on that, so have a little re-listen to that maybe.
Yeah.
But it's a good book, that, Get Paid for Who You Are.
Yeah, I like it.
I've got a couple of resources too. First up is an interview on another podcast, a video podcast called London Real, which I may have mentioned in the past. But it's an interview with a chap called Peter Sage, who is a business coach, entrepreneur. He's kind of like, I hadn't come across him before, but he's a bit of a Tony Robbins, but British version.
Mm.
Shiny teeth and all that, but really cool. It was like an hour-long interview with the guy.
Yeah.
And just fascinating. I was listening to it yesterday as I worked away, and I'll probably listen to it again just because I like to get it and sink in.
Mm.
The London Real podcast is awesome too.
Mm.
Weekly interviews with just amazing people.
London Real as in R-E-A-L?
Yes.
Real. Right.
Yeah. That's actually presented by a chap whose name escapes me, but he is a former kind of city banker.
Right.
Who took a different path in life. He'd had enough of the stress and strains that came with that.
Yeah.
And set up London Real and does these weekly interviews with really interesting folk now.
Yeah.
So have a look into that. And second up, The Fizzle Show, which is another podcast, and fizzle.co website, which is an online business training platform for people wanting to build online businesses, which is what we're attempting to do, live in the present, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's presented by three chaps, Corbett, Chase and Caleb, who are really cool guys. Their podcast is awesome. Just really good weekly listen. Have a look at that as well.
Yeah, good. All done. Yeah, brilliant.
All right, next week, we've got question marks here on the list, but I know what we're going to talk about next week.
What are we going to talk about?
We can talk about pain.
About pain?
People's relationship with pain.
Yeah, sure.
Based on you having no effect of having people drilling your teeth and all that kind of thing. Whereas some people would just not be able to cope.
Pain.
Yeah. Or relationship with pain.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
That sound all right with you?
Yeah.
Right, so visit our website for all the links to everything we've just discussed, livingthepresent.co.uk. We would be super, super duper grateful if you have enjoyed this show, if you could share it with a friend, whack it on Twitter, on Facebook, just say you like it, post a link to our website and encourage other people to get involved if you could.
Yeah, and thanks for emails, people.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to say anything, comment or ask anything, it doesn't necessarily have to be shouted out on air. Lots of people send in and just want a private kind of chat about something. That's okay.
We had an awesome email from someone who's got onto Headspace, and it's kind of really had a big impact on on it.
Yeah.
Which they were quite candid in the email, but amazing.
Yeah.
So this show is having an impact, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
Send us, email us, get in touch on Facebook and on Twitter as well. Yeah. We'll see you all next week. Sean, have a good week.
And you take care.
Everyone take care.
Bye now.
See ya.